Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Heart is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
All that ridicule you took, every bit of the ridicule you took after getting your butt beat, when you pound on their butt tonight, you think about that. You take every bit of your energy, every fiber in your bone, and you take it and you beat the piss out of them. I'm talking about beat the piss out of them. Let's go whip their ass. Let's go.
We do not guest it up on Mondays ever, unless there's a reason. And I won't do, first of all, do not send me a message next time a guy gets fired and say, get somebody on Monday. I'm not going to do that. That is not happening. This is a rare exception, and it's my good friend Chris Landry, who's got insight here that nobody else has. Chris, I know you spent some time over by LSU, and you know what's going on over there. Give everybody the cliff notes.
Well, you know, we've talked about it all fall, that this was inevitable. And really, the exit strategy went into full throttle mode after the UCLA game. And what I mean by that, they weren't ready to pull the plugs in, but they, not just on the field, but some things that happened in the locker room, and it became pretty clear to Scott that they had to be prepared because it was pretty evident that a turnaround wasn't going to happen. And so that's when they begin to finalize any monies that needed to be raised and any plannings in the event that they would have to go in this direction. The loss to Auburn hurt in how, you know, it happened. And but after the Kentucky loss, that's when it was officially done, or, you know, unofficially done, if you want to call it. Both decided that they were going to move on, and it was a final. They finalized it after that game, and well, that week, and it was Friday, actually Friday before the Florida game, and suggest that, you know, and just visiting with both of them, that they separately, it probably relieved them of a lot. I don't know how much of that had to do with the performance. Florida play certainly contributed to it. So people that are thinking, well, why would you announce it after the Florida win? Well, it had nothing to do with whether they beat Florida, lost to Florida. This was done on Friday with the idea that they were going to announce it on Sunday. And, you know, the reason they want, or Ed wants to coach out the season, but it's really a couple of things. The main thing is, you know, Scott Woodard wants this to come across publicly as amicable as possible due to the number of problems off the field behind the scenes. And that's why he wants, you know, to kind of keep it. So it's going to be almost like he's retiring. It's going to be a send-off. They'll be positive because the strategy is, it's a PR strategy. Remember, Scott Woodard is – he's a PR guy. He's a politician. If you make the firing and you announce it, he's gone, he doesn't coach anymore, it comes across as even uglier to people, maybe national media, what have you, and they know they're dealing with a live wire guy that may say stuff, do stuff. He still may say stuff and do stuff, but there'll be a price if he does now. So he's, you know, he's going to get this total money that he's owed, as long as he doesn't do anything. And it's part of the agreement in there, an NDA agreement that he can't, you know, thing or do anything. So it's going to make it look a little bit more positive. If you notice, or maybe people didn't notice, Scott Woodard made a point in the press conference yesterday, made a point of saying, It's strictly for on-the-field reasons. Absolutely nothing to do with off-the-field. Folks, that's legal reasons. There's Title IX investigations. There are other investigations. You can't come out and say, yeah, we got, you know, it's off the field. I'm not happy with, because then that gets brought up in the lawsuit. So no one can't do this. This is, you know, for people that are thinking, well, why did these are little things that you got to understand that's going on behind the scenes. The other thing it does, it's a way to say to Ed, hey, look, we won't share what's in your closet if you don't share what's in our closet, so to speak. So there's even in Ed's termination agreement that he's going to be required to make some PR appearances on behalf of LSU. Of course, they're not going to ask him to do that, but that is part of the language that is going to keep him, they hope, so that he's not the live wire that kind of goes off, you know, crazy. So that's trying to make, you know, if there's really anything else, he's going to get paid. That's why he's going to get paid. He's going to coach. It's why he's going to coach. There's also a lot of dysfunction on the staff. I gave you kind of the reason. There's not really anybody that wanted to be the interim coach. You know, Mickey Joseph was the assistant head coach. I'm sure they could have said, look, you know, got to do it. I mean, obviously, if something else had happened that they had to have an interim coach, but this is one of those cases. It's unusual. It doesn't happen that often, but it has happened before. Scott did it at Washington with Ty Willingham. Ty Willingham was 0-7 at Washington, and he was basically fired, but he finished out the season. So, that's the Cliff Notes. I know it's a long Cliff Notes, but that's the Cliff Notes version.
Chris, there was a TV reporter tweeting about an incident at a gas station, mm-hmm. and also he tweeted that some of the girlfriends would be at practice and the kids would even get in the drill lines. Is that corroborated?
Obviously, I didn't see any of that. I wasn't a witness to any of that. But there are going to be, I would just say this, there are going to be a lot of stories. Say that's the tip of the iceberg, which I'm going to go back to what I said about why they would, some of that stuff's going to come out. Most of it won't, you know, because there's just so much. And it was like I say, it was saying last night, there's going to be 100 stories about it. 50 are going to be true. 25 are going to be exaggerated, but along the lines of being true, and 25 are going to be not true, but hey, kind of sounds like it could be, you know. And so there's a lot of things there. Yes, this is about it's about how the off the field problems, the lack of discipline, the lack of organization, the lack of focus, everything from the end of the season of the championship year to the hirings or in the lack of due diligence, it's about bad hires. All of that quote unquote lack of discipline, bad behavior contributed to really bad decisions that affected the football program, which has led to a 9-8 record since the national championship game. So it's people who say, well, it's off the field, it's on the field. Common sense. You know, it's the off-the-field lack of organization, discipline that leads to the bad decisions on the field, that leads to the bad record. We'd be all naive to think that there have been a lot of guys who've done things that are not real moral or not really good. But if they win big, that'd be a different way that you'd handle this. And if you're a choir boy and you lose, you get fired. But when you do these things off the field and it affects internally how you deal and organize your program, it is a major problem. And you lose the respect of players, of staff members, and that's where we are. That's where we've been. And that's why I had no problem telling you since September, this is – no. I mean, we can talk about – a nice run and all that. Hey, ain't going to have a nice run. There might be a win or two here or there, but that's not going to happen. And this is not the type of guy that Scott Woodard wanted. And yeah, he's made a point of saying we're good friends and all that. That you like Ed if you know him, you know. But you also know that you don't want him being your head coach if you're the athletic director or board of supervisors or anybody in those positions. So you're going to hear a lot of stories, and I would tell you that probably a lot of them are true. They're going to come out in droves now. They're going to come out in droves because what it's going to be is you're going to have the negative media. Oh, I can't believe you fire a guy because they're going to take the press conference at its word on the field. Look, I mean, you had a COVID year last year and this year. They don't know what's going on behind the scenes, behind the curtain. And yet you can't really say that, as I mentioned, exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have story after story after story. And yeah, a lot of them are true. Things that happen at practice, things that happen out in the public that came back to him because of who it was done against and things that he did himself that were foolish, and pictures of himself, you know, in compromising situations. Those were all things that would scare the bejesus out of you if you were running a big-time business with a high-profile position. And then it leads to also that type of, you know, why do you think players are checking out left and right? You know, yeah, the young players played hard. That was great Saturday. But I think the veteran players have got an NFL future and they're losing and their coach is doing this and they know of all of that. One of the coaches called me a couple weeks ago. I was out running a quick errand, and it was like a Tuesday night, and, you know, come by, eat with us. And, you know, I just right by there. They were having meetings, and he wasn't even Ed wasn't even there. And I said, well, where's that? I was going to stop in to put my head in. Oh, hell, he checks out after practice. I mean, it was just it's been a lot of things that have been going on for some time.
Chris, we're up against it. Can you spend a couple of minutes on the other side?
Yes, sure.
Because I want to ask you about candidates, whatever we know, and then I want to ask you about the Florida situation too, because that's coming up. And a lot of people get mad at me if I don't get to that point with you as well. Chris Landry is with us, a rare Monday exception. Monday's usually 3 hours where we just hang out and go long form. We're going long form here, but had to get Chris in here for this topic, and I won't do this probably for any of the other jobs out there. This is the exception. This is kind of unique, and I wanted to get Chris on here to share his insight, his keen insight into this topic with you folks. Bowls of Steel coming up in hour number three, so hold back on those. Don't throw those out there yet. More Chris as we continue. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Still a little bit sluggish on 24 eastbound, trying to get up to the Whites Creek Pike exit there in the Jolton area. That's been struggling for over an hour from that earlier crash. As traffic builds through Mount Juliet, traffic leaving Wilson County now down the interstate, headed towards Nashville. Harding Place at Overcrest, that's South Nashville on a two-car wreck. 3200 block at Clarksville Pike over in Bordeaux, they're still on the scene of that earlier collision. Princess Hot Chicken is now open inside the Assembly Food Hall near the National Museum of African American Music on Broadway. Order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
Before you know it, the holiday season will be upon us, so it's time to start planning. If you're having a holiday party or event this year, then you should consider the Omni Nashville Hotel. Have a festive holiday party for your company, family, or friends at the most luxurious location in Music City. All your guests will experience the award-winning service from their well-trained, courteous staff at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Rooms that are second to none, and venues that will be the envy of all your guests. For smaller gatherings, reserve the private dining room inside Kitchen Notes. For a fun party atmosphere, consider Bar Lines. And for high-end corporate entertaining, choose Bob's Steakhouse. You can't go wrong when you book your party at the Omni Nashville Hotel. For more information or inquire about availability, just call 615-782-5333. That's 615-782-5333. The Omni Nashville Hotel, Music City's holiday party destination.
Life is already full of surprises, but your tuition shouldn't be one of them. While education costs rise in the U.S. every year, University of Phoenix is committed to protecting you from rising tuition costs with our tuition guarantee. We lock in your tuition so you can count on fixed, affordable tuition from the moment you enroll to the day you graduate from your program. Learn more at phoenix.edu.
I'm Bart Durham. I cut my teeth in the legal profession for 3 years as an assistant United States District Attorney. 10 years as a prosecutor changed my view of the law and how it can be used to make people's lives better. I started my own practice, helping injured people fight insurance companies.
I'm Blair Durham. My dad and I want to help. Give us a call at 615-242-9000.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it. Number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
What if I told you there was an offensive genius in Gainesville with no quarterback? What if I told you he loved sharks? Really loved sharks. What if I told you there were pictures to prove it? ESPC 30 for 30 presents Mac, the gator who loved sharks.
Chris Landry with us on this Monday edition, a rare exception to our guest rule, but Chris is the exception. That's why we've got him here. Chris, random names. Can you give us names? Let's go opposite here, that absolutely will not be involved with this job.
I'm not sure I can go there. Let me get just because I owe you and your listeners some transparency. And yeah, I will certainly address it here and going forward any way that I can. Let me just say this. Part of what I do in consulting is do coaching evaluation. Scott, William Tate, the new president. I saw both of them yesterday, but they've got my report, and like a lot of people do. Now, it's going to be Scott's call. There'll be people working, but the president, the school president, William Tate, is going to be following closely, going to be involved, but it's going to be Scott's call. And Scott's very, again, political. William Tate's the first African American president in school history. That and the fact that there's a strong push by the commissioner, Greg Sankey, to get more push for interviewing minorities. I think you're going to see at least, you know, one, two, maybe more interviewed in that regard. They kind of know what I think. I don't really care to share that, but they also have, you know, people that they're going to research and have a long list, a short list. I will say this. You know Scott Woodard as I do. If you hear a name, a link to it, leaked to the media, you can pretty much be assured that's not where they're going. Nothing definite. I can't speak to that. But if you look at it, the history, I mean, I don't care what it is. Scott told me, because I just asked him off the cuff, I even told you this. And I didn't really care, really follow on it, about the baseball search, and it was, oh, yeah, I would like Bianco Lai. He kind of thought I might repeat it, and that wasn't where they were going. The smoke screens are his special. So with that, I'll try to do whatever I can. I think there's some that I can tell you that, well, I don't, maybe they're short list, maybe they're long list, which long list probably not, you know, we'll have to get way down before they would go to them. So that would probably take a long time to go over, you know, everybody, but I'm open to whatever questions is I answer best I can.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. Well, Karen just tweeted this from Nebraska. She said, I'd be surprised if Woodward doesn't already have his guy picked out mentally. You think that's accurate?
First of all, he has who he wants. But no, you can't have a deal secured at this point. That's a longer segment, but there are reasons why. You absolutely can't have it. But, yeah, do I think I know who he wants? And, I have a pretty good idea. I'm not going to say because I might be wrong, but I think I know. And, look, let me say this. You know the way this works, he's dealing with the agents, have been dealing with the agents for a while. Jimmy Sexton's, Trace Armstrong's of the world, you know, Gary Huberson. So, you know, you it's one phone call talking about several guys, and quite frankly, he absolutely has his idea. But what you have to do, having been involved in many of these searches, is you don't know for certain that you can get that guy. So you have to have the plan B, plan C. And what I said and what I always do is I say there's a form that I use of critical factors. Make a list of your critical factors, I tell them. So if it's 3, 5, 10, 20, the priority of what are the critical factors you're looking for, and then multiply it by a division of how many there are. So if you've got 20 categories, the number one is worth 20 points. And just – do an exercise to make sure that somebody fits. And then, you know, your gut can come into it, but after you really look at it. And so, yeah, I think that Scott absolutely has his key target, 1, 2, 3. But there's not a definite that he can get him, because at this point, it's going to take a little bit of work to do to finalize that and to get all the processes worked out. But, and I would think it's probably going to be, he may have it done before the end of the year and then announce it then, or it may take longer. And it just depends on that. He'll handle this, I would think, a whole lot better than say Joe Oliva did, which, you know, working with Scott, I can tell you I'm much more comfortable. Working with Joe, was like pulling my hair out one by one, and just was a disaster.
Royal Payne says, Chris, do you see Billy Napier at a big time school in the future? Head coaching.
He was certainly interested in South Carolina, Auburn. It's not true that he turned them down. He backed out of it because they were both going in a different direction. He has an interest there. I think he's done a good job. He's got the full stamp of approval from Nick Saban. And I know they're not having a ideal season this year, but he's done a very good job. And I think in this part of the country, he's a good recruiter. I think he likes this part of the country. The reason why he was so interested in the South Carolina job is his family and all grew up there. And yeah, I think he would be very interested in an SEC type job. Maybe not any of them, but, or not all of them, but yes, I think he would. And I think he'd be interested in, you know, not just SEC jobs, but maybe a couple of other jobs outside the SEC that are particularly in the South that might be a fit. Would he, it's a very small buyout. He only makes $2 million. He's like a $3 million buyout. So, yeah, he's easily hireable, but I would think that he's, the reason he hadn't got it, he's kind of in that, been on that B list for a lot of folks. And, you just kind of missed out on a couple of these.
Does the LSU news put pressure on Scott Strickland at Florida?
What puts pressure on Dan Mullen to make changes on his staff, particularly on the defensive side? I think that's going to come down on him. He's not going to get fired this year. Now, I fully expect, because he flirted with it last year, or tried to, I think he's going to try. You're going to hear Dan's name somewhere associated with some job, because he will get his people to put it out. I think that if there was a situation that would appeal to him, would he jump at that? I mean, I don't know if he'd jump at it at the right job, he would. But, yeah, I think it's getting uncomfortable. He's having to deal with that. But they're not going to fire him this year for anything on the field. They're going to look at him and say, this has to be fixed. This is enough. It's, you know, 2 years in a row to LSU, the Kentucky's. I mean, it's just, and we're not done with the rest of the season. So, yeah, I think it puts a lot of pressure on Scott. It puts a lot of pressure on Dan to try to go about figuring how they can quell this frustration or sell it as we're going to get this fixed. And, you know, we've talked about Dan, you know, he's a different type of guy, and you know, is he the type that say, well, I'll just go somewhere else? Well, he's not going to just pick up and leave. It has to be the right one. But I think that's in play. I think that's in play more than, certainly more than them just firing Dan. I think they're going to want to see if they can work it out with Dan through his staff.
Chris, I'm getting some names thrown at me. I'm going to throw them at you, and you can handle them any way you want, okay? Any way okay. You choose. Would LSU, would Scott Woodward have interest in Lane Kiffin?
I doubt it.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought. Does Jimbo actually have a $95 million buyout?
No buyout.
That's what I thought. It keeps getting reported like that, and Karen brought it up.
That's what he's owed if but he has no buyout.
So what you're saying is, you know, here's the wording there. That's what money he's got coming to him. But
correct.
If he were to leave, that school that got him would not have to pay out all that money, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. That's semantics.
According to the school and according to his agent. I admit I haven't seen the contract, so I can't sit there and tell you I saw the contract, but –
right.
I can tell you that it is, according to his agent, according to the school, people did it. There is no buyout.
Josh up in London, Ohio, and also Hawkeye Jason said, what about Mel Tucker?
Well, that's somebody that the president, William Tate, I think he, and that's where he and James Franklin have come in.
Yeah.
I think because you've heard it, I think that's been leaked out on purpose. I think they'd have to get a few notches down on the list before something like that would be realistic. I'm not,
right.
Well, you know, look, I don't, I have an opinion on it. I think that he is somewhat of interest, and he's hot because it had a really good year. And he is a Nick Saban guy. He's coached in the SEC, obviously at Alabama, at Georgia, and he's done good things, and he's done a good job at Michigan State. Transfer portal this year. I'm going to tell you, he took the Colorado job 1 year, gone. And he, you know, got to Michigan State, and so you're talking about 1 year, Michigan State. Last year, COVID year, 2 years, it's you're talking about jumping ship. It's timing's not good for him. It would, you know, maybe in some people's eyes look bad, but, you know, this is a job that certainly if he were offered it, he would take it. Oh, real quick, by the way, let me just to the back to the Lane Kiffin thing.
Yeah.
Answer the question that is, there's no doubt that Lane would be interested in the job, and it's something that Jimmy has, you know, tried to sell, but I don't think that's going to, I don't think that's where Scott's going to go, but that's, I think people know, if they don't know, that's one of Jimmy's guys, Jimmy Sexton's guys. And, there's no doubt that he would leave to go to LSU if that opportunity existed. But that's where that's coming from. That's really coming from the Jimmy Sexton camp, to put it out there as a candidate, more than it's coming from LSU.
Jeff, too, ask Chris, where does he see Coach O 12 months from now?
Oh, I don't know. You know, that's impossible for me to know. Look, he's going to have a lot of money. The money's coming to him in 18 installment payments. He gets like 5.68, you know, by December 15th of this year, and he's going to get payments through December 2025. You know, I think it's 18 total, so he's got a lot of money coming to him. If he wants to get back in coaching as a D-line coach, a recruiter, he's certainly proven in that. Is he going to have the hunger to do it? I mean, there's no way to answer that. Right now, he doesn't and wouldn't, but down the road, he might. I mean, you know how that is. 2 months from now, you think, well, I'd like to get back in. Maybe I'd like to go be a position coach. So, but I don't know that he wants to do that enough to where, you know, it's going to be anything he gets is an offset. So he might just want to take some time away. So I don't know. I just don't know. But no, he's not going to end up, you know, people say analyst here or there. He's not. He doesn't fit the analyst role, I can tell you that, because people say that, because that's not really the type of guy you'd want. He's a recruiter. He's a great, as people say, but he's a decent defensive line coach. And can be a great recruiter. Is he motivated to do that? That's what you got to get. Are you getting that Ed Orgeron, or are you getting the one that's comfortable right now?
Chris Landry joining us. And, Chris, we're about out of time. Maybe 30 seconds on this one. What's the more attractive job? And this is Noel Cav up in Chicago, LSU or Southern Cal?
At the beauty in the eye of the beholder. You can't really say there is no such thing as the more attractive job. It's like saying who's the most attractive woman. Well, you know, if you're in love with someone, you know, you see it differently. If you're a West Coast guy, if you're somebody that doesn't mind living in L.A., the USC job's got great appeal. Obviously, if you're in a lot of folks that look at the LSU situation, the South, you can look at a lot of things. Is it a tougher path than one? There are a lot of things to look at, so there is really no such thing when you have jobs of that deal. Both are great, and I think both are appealing for different reasons.
Chris, appreciate the time today, sir.
All right, we'll talk Thursday. Take care. Bye-bye.